time.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we raise the specter of Richard Doty.
Yes.
With Gene and Chris, with Jim Moseley. And, of course, Richard Doty is another one of those intelligence agents, quote-unquote, allegedly. Does he get a copy of Saucer Smear?
No. I have never. I almost met him once. I was with Carl Flock. Doty lives in New Mexico, as Flock did. And we went out for a long drive one time, and we went right through the town where Doty lived. He was out of the service then and was a state trooper, which is kind of funny because that shows he couldn't have been up too high in the government, I don't think, but then again, who knows. Anyway, he was not home that day, and I've talked to him on the phone a couple of times. I think he knows much less than I do about saucers, and that's pretty bad.
So basically you think he's just making it all up, right?
Well, he the worst thing, you know, is way off this subject, but he and Moore really persecuted that poor guy, Benowitz. That was cruel what they did. They literally drove him insane, and he went to the nut house. I don't know if he died in the nut house, but, I mean, they were just playing with his mind. I mean, the more I think about it, and I hate to say this, Bill Moore is not a positive force in the UFO field. He did the book on the Philadelphia experiment, which is the craziest concept I've ever heard. He did the book on Roswell that started the whole nonsense here, and he also introduced the world to MJ-12. And I don't think he's done, I don't think any of those three things have done the field any good.
All right.
Here it is.
Areas where none of us disagree.
Oh, by the way, Moore lives in northern Florida now, and we might get together sometime.
Well, that will be a special event, ladies and gentlemen. We should call the media. I'll alert the media, as someone said in a movie many years ago.
Right.
You don't remember what movie, do you?
No.
Okay. Sir John Gielgud playing the butler in the original version of Arthur.
The original version of what?
Arthur. It was a comedy film with Dudley Moore about 20 years ago.
Okay. Right. Well, you are a movie trivia person, and I congratulate you on that.
I accept that remark, and I resemble it. Okay, final comment from Century. Thanks for all you've done. Your numerous legitimate contributions to the field are often overshadowed by your reputation as the court jester of ufology, but some of us get it.
Well, he's a very nice guy. I really appreciate that.
I'll tell you, we've got another few questions here, and we've got other questions for you that Chris and I will make up on the spot. From Bergen, and that's not the county in New Jersey. It's just one of our particular members in our forum. And his avatar says, it's a conspiracy. You know, believe? That's what it says.
So with David Hatchett-Childress' leering face on it.
I'm sorry. I need a translator almost every time Chris speaks. There's a vibration there of some kind that makes it hard to understand.
Well, you see, Chris has good vibrations.
Well, not right now. How did he end up on a cell phone? I don't understand.
Okay, that. He's doing...
On the road.
He's on the road doing studio
work.
Oh,
he's on the road. No wonder. Yeah. Right.
He's on the road again.
Right.
That was a song by Canned Heat. Forget it. Okay.
On the Road Again was a song by a guy I was...
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson did it too, but also there was a song by Canned Heat.
Yeah, he did it, but the first guy... was Guthrie's son. You know, there was the original Guthrie.
Woody Guthrie. But the father, Woody.
Yeah, Woody was the father, and the son became a rock star for a while, and that was one of his sons.
Okay. Bergen asks, have you read Clifford Stone's new book?
Clifford Stone's new book.
Sergeant Clifford Stone.
Oh, the fellow that lives or did live in Roswell?
I'm not sure, but he's the one that claims that there's 57 different alien types.
Well, I think that's the name of a guy. I met him once when I was in Roswell. He claims he was like a sergeant or something in the service way back, and he was a president, in his opinion, when there was on-the-spot investigation made by the military of a saucer that had just crashed. And I didn't believe a word of it because he didn't come out with that until quite a long time after he had become a saucer researcher. Eventually, he remembered this thing that would have been the first thing that he would have said if it were true. So, yeah, Clifford Stone, he lived in Roswell and was, at that time when I met him, a security guard. Does that sound right?
Correct.
Okay.
You see, Jim, when Chris, who is our ace investigator, says you're correct, that's it. Now, here's a question, and I think you're going to reject the premise, okay?
All right.
Okay. What is the best tactic, in his opinion, on how to get any truth out of the military on what they know about the UFO phenomenon? But, Jim, I guess the qualifier here that I'll add is, do you accept that the military has any information that is of any significance?
Well, see, now that's how you word it. Obviously, the military has details about many sightings that we don't know about or that they know more about than we do. Obviously, there have been many chases of UFOs by military craft. I mean, of course they know more than we do, but that's not the question. They have had, what would we say, intercourse, perhaps, with saucers in ways that we are not aware of because they don't give out any information that they don't have to. But the question is, do they know anything significant? Have they looked at creatures from crashed saucers, or have they interfaced at all with the creatures from another planet, or have they flown themselves at some say to other planets secretly? And none of that, I believe. So I personally wouldn't waste a lot of time trying to push secrets out of the military because, for one reason, they're probably smarter than you are. They'll just know how to fend it off, and they're not going to tell you anything they don't want to.
What about the possibility that the military funnels off some of the information about subjects such as this to private industry, then they have so-called plausible deniability? That's my question.
Yeah. I think that's true. I mean, that's about all I can say about it because I don't know, you know, much about any of the details of government contracts. But obviously, private industry is involved, and I guess in a way they could claim that they're not involved. I have no idea.
You know, this raises another question that arose back in the early 50s and 60s. And crazy rumors about Jim Moseley. It's not part of Birkin's questions, but I'm going to bring it up because we're talking about the military-industrial complex and all that. Your late father was a famous or infamous military figure in the 30s
yes.
and 40s. Tell us about him, because I think this is how it relates to it.
Well, how does it relate to any of this?
That's you know what? Why don't you answer the question, and then I'll ask.
Well, yes, he was a notorious figure for a short time in the late 30s because of his pro-fascist views, and he was not in favor of World War II because I think he was more friendly toward the Germans than toward the English. That's the way he was. I wasn't raised by him, but I knew him. I visited him about once a year. He lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and I lived up in New Jersey. And we didn't get along very well because my views were not at all like his. And that's about all there is to that, unless there's some specific reason for the question.
Okay, we're talking here about George Van Horn Moseley.
Yes.
And he lived a long time, 86. He passed the age of 86
right.
when he died.
How did you know that?
Because he's listed on Wikipedia. They have a whole section,
okay.
a whole biography
yes,
about
I
your
know.
Dad. There's even a small biography about you on Wikipedia. If you ever get online or learn how to do it, you can check yourself.
No, I have it. Two or three people have sent it to me. It talks mostly about the Strafe letter. I've got
I'll
it.
Tell you what. We'll talk mostly to Jim Moseley with Gene and Chris. You're in.
America.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to MysticStampAd.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to MysticStampAd.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to MysticStampAd.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or MysticStampAd.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
I am gobsmacked that Chris O'Brien's cell phone on his remote location, his secret location, is still functioning.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Okay.
I only had 2 bars, believe it or not.
That's right. And he's been to both bars in the last hour. That's why he sounds like this. We have Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear. We were talking about the fact that his father was a notorious, I guess, military figure. And the reason we mention that is because people say, all right, Jim Moseley has no obvious means of employment. And back in the 50s and 60s, they used the fact that you had a father who was a famous military figure saying that Jim Moseley, therefore, must be a secret military agent.
Well, there's different things here. I inherited a lot of money from my mother, not from my father. I inherited $100 from my father, and that didn't last too long.
Well, I did better with my father, and he wasn't a famous military figure.
But I'll tell you something that's very interesting. General MacArthur is known to have made several public statements having to do with interplanetary war. And I think you probably know this. Basically saying that the only way to get a human race to get along with each other is if we were threatened from an outside force. You're familiar with that, right?
That's almost similar to something that President Reagan said a number of years later.
Yes, yes, yes. That's exactly true. But here's the interesting thing. My father was deputy chief of staff under MacArthur in 1930-31. That's just around the time I was born. And MacArthur, as I said, made that kind of statement a number of times. Now, I had an opportunity to meet MacArthur with my father after they were both long retired. And MacArthur lived at the Waldorf Astoria in New York. And I showed up about literally two minutes late for the appointment, and my father had already left the lobby of the hotel and gone up to see MacArthur, and so I missed. And then I had another thought. I guess by then my father had died. I could have interviewed MacArthur just as a person at random that happened to be General Moseley's son, and in other words, not mentioning saucers at all. The average person doesn't go in for that. Just meet him, you know, to say hello and have an interview and then say, oh, by the way. And then if there was a story there, which I doubt, I think he just was on a kick like Reagan. But if there was a story there, I would have had a exclusive. And I missed out on that, too. By the time I wanted to do it, he was quite ill and I never did either.
Parenthetically, are there other interviews you wish you could have done?
Well, of course, everybody would say that. But, I mean, without going into the egotistical details, I spent at least a half hour alone talking to General Eisenhower before he was president. I spent a little less time talking alone with Harry Truman after he was president.
That one you've told on the air. Now, Eisenhower, this preceded your interest in UFOs, so certainly there wasn't anything you talked to him about.
That's true. And it was 1947, I think, and obviously I hadn't heard of MJ-12 or Roswell or any of the good stuff, so I wouldn't have known what to ask him anyway, and I'm sure he wouldn't have known anything at that time that he shouldn't know. Yeah.
Of course, you didn't know when he, of course, had the alleged toothache and went to the secret military base
and saw the UFOs. I could have asked him about that. I know the case you're talking about, yeah.
But you don't believe that, do you?
He was either at the dentist or he was having a secret meeting with creatures from a landed spaceship.
Or secret alien creatures were dentists, and he had some kind of dental or medical condition that we couldn't cure, so he asked E.T. to do it. I just started a new rumor, folks.
Yeah, well, I'm close to you on that. Yeah, it could have been a dentist from another planet, in other words.
This is a new story, science fiction story. The dentists from another planet come here to Earth to extract our teeth.
Indeed. Yes, that's
okay,
that's
from Bergen, we have another question. Number three, thoughts on ancient alien series on the History Channel. Now, I suspect you don't even have cable TV, or if you do, you get a very basic cable TV and don't watch those things.
We only have cable here. So I get cable, and if I wanted to, I could get over 100 channels, which I would never watch, so I basically get basic cable, and it's cheaper by far, and I only watch two or three channels, and that's not one of them. So I don't know a whole lot about ancient astronauts. You remember Yonah Fortner.
Tell our listeners about this guy, because Yonah is one of the early people to talk about ancient astronauts way before Eric von Daniken ever existed. Tell us about Yonah. He was one character.
He was indeed. He was a scholar, a Jewish scholar of a very high IQ, and he specialized in the Old Testament and in ancient manuscripts from places like India and so forth. I think that would be Sanskrit. I'm not sure. Anyway, to make a long story short, he came across a lot of stories that sounded like, I guess, Earth-made spaceships in India. And as far as the Old Testament is concerned, he believed that Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament, was in reality a space being. That was his take on these things, and he read these languages and then wrote articles in English about what he had read. Unfortunately, he never wrote a proper book about it, and he had so many hang-ups about what should and should not be included that he was very hard to work with. But he was quite a scholar.
The only thing about it is he was a very good writer, but the writing style of the original stories that you published in Saucer News from Yona, they were so dry. It was really difficult to follow unless you had a background in the information he was presenting.
Yeah, well, he could have been von Däniken. He had no interest in being a popular writer, which is too bad because he needed money badly at all times. And it's just a shame that his talent was wasted. Now, I could just deviate here and mention the Nazca lines, but I think we've already done that a few times.
Why don't you hit him again? Because I asked someone who was involved in ancient astronaut studies about this, and he kind of dismissed the possibility. So explain again you and Yona and the Nazca lines and what they're about.
Well, Yona had nothing to do with the Nazca lines.
I thought he had actually been sent down there to look at them.
Well, yes. After I got into trouble down in Peru, I sent him down as a surrogate or something to try to help me straighten out things with the Peruvian government. And apart from that, he was interested in archaeology, and he had met Maria Reich, who was this German archaeologist who was the greatest person to study the Nazca lines over a period of 30 or 40 years. But that had nothing to do with why he went to Peru. I mean, in other words, it's two different stories. As for the Nazca lines, my opinion now is that the actual mystery of what they were, what their purpose was, I don't think it's ever been solved. Not by Maria Reich or anybody else, but the least likely thing is that that was a landing field for UFOs. Because when you really think about it, which I've had plenty of time to do, the lines are not very visible from the air.
I'll tell you what, before we answer why this is all about and why Jim has reached this conclusion, we'll tell you that we have Jim Mosley. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Emergency preparedness plans must include a fast way to start a fire. Fire up instantly with the revolutionary Quick Stove, a compact, lightweight, portable stove that's ready for cooking in less than 1 minute. Quick Stove, the safe, non-explosive fuel source that is an emergency preparedness essential. Quick Stove comes with four waterproof fuel cells that ignite in seconds, burn for up to 90 minutes each, can be lit and relit, and be stored indefinitely. At up to 18,000 BTUs, Quick Stove is ready to boil water in less than 5 minutes and burns hotter than most outdoor stoves. Now, the best part. Quick Stove starts at only $34.99 and comes with a 100% satisfaction or your money back guarantee. Order today at quickstove.com or call 801-784-0225. That's 801-784-0225. Or go to quickstove.com. Click on the discounts tab for multi-unit savings. Quick Stove, quite possibly the world's fastest outdoor fire.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
From a secret location on a mountaintop, we have Chris O'Brien speaking to us on the secret radio with Captain Video and his Video Rangers. No, that's another story. We don't want to get into that. But Jim Mosley.
Actually, I'm right in the middle of downtown L.A., Gene.
Same difference.
Yeah, right.
We have Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear. We're talking about the Nazca lines, and you made the statement you don't think they were landing signals or.
Well, you know, that's one of the.
Or a landing spot for UFOs.
Yeah, well, that's a simple idea to come up with, just like I think. At this point in time, my opinion of saucers, I mean, it's a obvious and simple idea to say they come from another planet. Just like it's, you see lines like that that are unexplained, and the simplest idea is, gee, it must have been a landing field. And since those ancient people didn't have aircraft, although it's been brought up that possibly they did have, but I doubt it, then it would be people from elsewhere coming in, and that's not likely either. What I started to say is the lines are hard to see from an airplane. You have to be pretty low. There's mist, there's fog, there's whatever. You would not see those lines from very far away. And from the ground, you can't see far enough at one time to know what the whole pattern is, because it's just that way. You can't see more than, what, a couple of miles or something, and if the line is 10 miles long, then you're only looking at part of it. But I was probably the only amateur in history to dig on the Nazca lines, which by now Peru has become much more prohibitive about things like this. I guess you'd be locked up or something. But I had a crew of diggers, and just for the fun of it, we went out to the Nazca lines one day because there were at least two mounds where a bunch of lines would come together. altogether 6, 8, or 10 lines running from a single mound. And it would be reasonable, just again simplistically, to think if they were going to have a very important burial, it would be in or on the side of that mound, because elsewhere there were a lot of tombs, some of which I opened, that were on the side of mounds. I mean, it's a common thing in primitive societies. So we tried, and we dug, and we couldn't reach anything that seemed to be leading toward something further down that would be a burial. And the diggers got teed off and said, you know, we're wasting our time here. We're not going to find anything. Let's go back to the valley of Nazca, which was rich in tombs, many of which I opened. So that was fun and profitable, and when I went on the Nazca lines, it was hot and horrible, so I was only there for about half a day. If I said this in Peru, the maximalist element, which is probably stronger by now, would have me hung, I suppose.
In fact, I think they're on their way to your home.
At this moment, yes.
And you might be hearing that knock on the door.
But anyway, the Nazca, I don't know why they can't really find out what they are. They have something to do with irrigation, apparently, but they're not irrigation canals like they sound like, because they end at a certain point. The line runs to a certain point. It very often will be just the point at which the desert becomes a small hill. Instead of flat land, you have sloped land going up to a hill a couple of hundred feet high. And it just dead ends. There's no way that these could ever have been used as irrigation ditches or anything. So I don't know. I never worried that much about it, because if they're not connected with spaceships, then who cares?
Well, I guess because they are there, we have to have an explanation.
Yes, they'll figure it out. There's still people, real archaeologists, are still writing books about it. And this woman that I talk about, Maria, only died a few years ago. She was almost 100 years old. She was there was reverence toward her as having done all this work, which was pretty useless, I guess. But she was famous in Peru as the Lady of the Nazca Lines.
I'm going to ask you another question from Bergen. We still have a couple left from him. What, in his opinion, is the best factual book on UFOs? Other than Shockingly Close to the Truth, or Jim Moseley's book of whatever?
Well, see, I don't read most of these books, because it's just, I can do a review by just skimming through it and reading the front, fold description and a few of the reviews of the book. So, well, I would imagine that the most factual and interesting to somebody like me would be the books by Alan Hynek, and less so Kehoe, because he, not lied, but he changed the import and wording of sightings to make them more exciting and didn't stick literally to the text that he got.
Now, understand here, Jim Moseley got to see the same text of many of the cases that Kehoe wrote about in his early books. And this is something, maybe we should just present this for a moment, okay? Now, Major Kehoe is considered a legend in the UFO field because, you know, it's back in the 50s and such a different time then. And you're saying here then that he took these basic cases that you saw and embellished the details?
I would assume so, and I can't really prove that, but I do know this. He was interested in the cases that the Air Force's Project Blue Book had investigated, and this was just for a short period of time, I think in the early 50s. And so he had a couple of friends in the Air Force that had access to Project Blue Book files. And they would read him over the phone the text of some of these cases, leaving out the names of the people and whatever else they wanted to leave out, because these were technically classified cases. I just happened to, I guess I've been very, very lucky in a lot of things in my life in ways that are far more important than this. But one time I went to the Pentagon, I guess I called first, and when I called, they said, oh, yeah, come on in, and we'll show you the Blue Book files. And they did. They sat me down at a typewriter. There was no internet in those days. And I came in two or three different afternoons and sat and typed anything I wanted from any of the Blue Book files. Obviously, I only typed the cases that were the most exciting. And when Keyhole found this out, he went ballistic. And basically, he caused them to be reclassified. I'm the only one that was ever able to do so, to do what I did, because he, as a great seeker of truth, made sure that that never happened again, okay?
Okay, but you're saying here that he embellished some details
in
what fashion?
I would think so, but I'm not exactly sure of that. It was so... how can I put it? He was a professional writer, and without embellishing, he could rewrite these cases to make them slightly more interesting and coherent than they might be in the Blue Book files. It was just written by some guy, you know, that was not a professional writer.
Now, the way Keogh wrote his books, by the way, it was all like a detective novel where 90% of the text is quotes, people talking to one another. And either Major Keogh had a photographic memory like the person on the TV show Unforgettable, or he took very copious notes, or he was, you know, expert at dictation, or he embellished.
Yeah, I don't think it would be unreasonable to just assume that he embellished. I mean, he certainly isn't the only professional writer that does that or has done it. I'd like to think that shockingly close to the truth is so close to the truth that you can't tell the difference, but I'm not sure.
And the problem with Jim is that shockingly close to the truth, Jim probably can't tell where a fact ends and fiction or fact fiction begins. We have Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear. You're on with Gene and Chris, and there's one reason for that. It's because you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. solar-powered generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to mysolarbackup.com for more information. That's mysolarbackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
I am gobsmacked that Chris O'Brien's top secret communicator is still functioning.
I just got a low battery signal, so we've got a couple of minutes.
Okay, so if Chris disappears, it's not because he was beamed up to the Enterprise. Okay.
Oh, darn.
Okay, we have Jim Moseley.
I picked off a guest.
And we're answering your questions, ladies and gentlemen. Jim?
Yes.
You have something else you'd like to say about Kehoe before we leave the subject?
That we were rivals, which was one reason we didn't get along, but I think my basic point against him was legitimate. He chose to believe that the Air Force had more secrets than they probably ever had, and that if we could just pry this information out of the Air Force, we'd have the answer to the saucer mystery. And for long-winded reasons, that just was not the case, in my opinion, and he was wasting his time, and that was his main focus. And eventually people realized that he was too much focused on that one thing, and he lost a lot of popularity and lost most of his board of directors, etc., and finally he got kicked out of his own organization.
Well, they said the other thing is that he was a very bad manager.
Yeah, that's true. They were always short of money and so on. But he had Admiral Helen Cotter, if that's said right, who was, I think, the first head of the CIA.
Right.
He knew some important people because he had gone to Annapolis and met them. Some were classmates. So, I mean, he was pretty much of an insider himself, but he wrote interesting books and popularized the subject, but he didn't solve anything.
He got himself so involved in getting congressional hearings that he lost focus on
the other thing, yeah. Because, you know, there have been congressional hearings, and I'm not up on this, I'd say two or three times, and they didn't lead to anything. They just didn't.
You know, if he spent all that time interesting the scientific community, investigating
exactly.
UFOs, getting top-notch scientists, and he had the people, the background there, he had scientists, he had military people, if they went and they contacted these people and said, look, here's the evidence, let's investigate this stuff, let's get it out there, it wouldn't matter.
You wouldn't, you're on the right track, but you would need a hell of a lot of money. It would have to be appropriated by Congress. It's not always as bad as it is right now.
But you could also get private industrialists, people
yes.
in private industry to do it, which is the point. The point is here, if you got people like a former head of the CIA walking into an office of an industrialist and say, look, here's a story, here's the information. Put aside a couple of million for this thing. And remember, a couple of million in 1955 is like 10, 20 million now. That's a lot of money to engage in a complicated investigative project. But Kehoe just squandered that.
Well, the only thing close to that would be Bigelow. And he has not spent a whole lot of money, and he is very hard to deal with. And he's done some good, but not as much as he could have, I think.
Well, he put money into MUFON, and then there were terms and conditions that didn't work out very well.
Yeah. Now, and that haunted ranch, what did they call it? There's another name for it.
Skinwalker.
The ranch, huh?
Skinwalker.
Yeah, Skinwalker Ranch. There again, it's confusing and different versions of it. The only thing I can say for sure is that nothing provable ever came out of that whole thing. So it didn't do any good.
There was actually one other question Bergen asked, and I don't know if you even answer this because you may not even be interested. Any favorite film or TV shows on UFOs? This is fiction.
No.
Fiction.
Oh, well, there was one I liked. I kind of liked the 4th of July. Is that the name of it? No, Independence Day.
Right? Independence Day, right. That was a fun film. I mean, they took the pop culture, and they had these really great actors, character actors. They had Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith, and it was a fun movie. It was a nonsensical movie. It was logically nonsensical, but it was fun.
Do you know what the worst thing was? And if you see it or see it again, watch for this. Whoever their technical advisor was not too swift. They had just a couple of sentences about it. They had Roswell happening, I believe, in the early 50s, and they had the location wrong. A simple thing like that.
Yeah, but you see, it was done, by the way, in kind of an offhand conversation. Judd Hirsch plays Jeff Goldblum's rather eccentric father. And he's remembering something. Oh, you had Roswell in the 50s. And so they didn't correct him, but he was just an average person trying to remember something. And the technical details didn't matter because the way it was posed was, all right, you had a crash. You had this evidence and you hid it from us. That was the point. It wasn't the specifics.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right there. But I just thought it was cute that they couldn't get that right. But that's a logical reason, yeah.
Right. It was a fun film. It was a nonsensical film. They've talked of having a sequel every so often. This is Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin. Roland Emmerich did a film about 2012 and also The Day After Tomorrow. And, of course, Dean Devlin does a TV series called Leverage, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, they're still around. They've talked about it. They have to get their stars back. But Will Smith became a big star from that movie.
I really am sorry that Frank Strange has never succeeded in getting any film outfit to take the film rights to develop a Thor story, because that would have made a wonderful movie.
You really think so?
Yeah, yeah. I actually read the book, or sort of. I mean, I like the part. Oh, yeah, the name of it is Stranger at the Pentagon, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
I read the book, too, by the way.
Yeah,
in those days, I read every book. Now I read some of the books.
Well, if I had read every book on saucers, I would be blind, among other things, because there's been probably several hundred by now. So it's a good thing I don't read all of them.
Well, I read the ones I think that we're going to talk about on the air. I try to read all or most of the books. I don't succeed as well, but Chris is really good about that. Chris is a thorough investigator. He's a field investigator. And every time there's a book, he reads it from cover to cover. And I think there would be no show without Chris and his legwork. He's just, you know, a treasure that we have here on the show.
Well,
there you go.
Nice of you to say that.
And you're a treasure, too, by the way. And you're the kind of treasure we do not want to bury for many, many years to come. Can you tell our listeners?
Are we reaching the end of our rope here?
I've been at the end of my rope for a long time, Jim. But could you tell our listeners how they can get a copy of Saucer Smear? This is something they won't want to miss.
Well, once again, if they want to use the mail system, they would just send a letter to my P.O. box and ask for a free sample copy. And it's Saucer Smear, two words, Smear, S-M-E-A-R, and P.O. Box 1709, Key West, Florida, 33041. P.O. Box 1709, Key West, Florida, 33041.
Yeah. Of course, you get a free copy. If you like it, send Jim a donation, a love offering, and he will continue to send you copies.
And incidentally, this is sort of relevant. A lot of saucer people, I guess more of the paranoid ones, don't like to give out their phone number and so forth, and they worry about things. I've got both of my phone numbers on the letterhead of every single issue of Smear, and I have never had any trouble about it. Hardly anybody ever calls me because they'll have to pay for the call, and I might as well just take the numbers off the letterhead. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Jim Moseley is the most amazing thing we've ever seen. He's the editor-publisher of Saucer Smear. A reminder, folks, that Chris O'Brien's site is OurStrangePlanet.com, OurStrangePlanet.com, and eventually we hope it's going to be redesigned. You can find us online, Twitter, the Paracast at Twitter. You can also write us, news at theparacast.com. Once again, that's news at theparacast.com, and the place where you can ask questions is over at forum.theparacast.com. That's forum.theparacast.com. Jim Moseley, thanks for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Are we signing off here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Talk to you later.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.